Your life is precious. This is it. You've got one shot at this. But is there a sense on the inside that you're capable of so much more? If so, the Missing Secret podcast is for you. The book Think and Grow Rich has been read by over 150 million people. It's the top book in the world on success by a factor of 10. In the book, it says there's a secret for success, but the author only gives us half the secret.
When I turned 50, I figured out the full secret, the missing secret, and developed a 12-minute-a-day technique to apply it. And it caused my income to go up by 25 times over the $200,000 to $300,000 a year I was making the prior 20 years. I felt so blessed.
When John taught me the missing secret, it changed my life, doubling my income and dramatically impacting my health, relationships, and quality of life.
Today, most people are just winging life. They don't have anything pulling them forward to their desired life.
Leverage yourself through science. It takes 12 minutes a day. Watch what happens. Welcome to the Missing Secret Podcast. I'm Kelly Hatfield.
And I'm John Mitchell. And you know, I just wish I was Kelly Hatfield. You know, with her cushy life that she has.
Whatever.
So here's our topic today. How to properly set aside time to just think. To just think. Now, Kelly, I know you're a big fan of this, but I also know that you struggled with this at first, right?
I really did. I do know why. Now, in retrospect, I understand why. So absolutely, I definitely struggled with this. And whenever you want me to kind of get into some of the challenges I had, but it was something I struggled with at the beginning for sure.
So, you know, that's so interesting because I'm like, this is so elementary to being successful in life, to just step back from your life and to think, to step back and see what is reality trying to tell me that my thick head may not be getting. What is happening with what I'm doing? Is it working? Is it not working? And so it seems so simple to me, but I just saw a client of ours that is doing the methodology, and he struggled with thinking. And it reminded me of your experience. Why don't you tell the audience the difficulty that you ran into?
Yeah, definitely. And I'll preface this by saying I'm not somebody who ever journaled. You know, so like the concept of writing your thoughts down, I was totally foreign to me. I hadn't done that before. You know, of course, I knew about journaling specifically,
right,
but I'd never been introduced to the topic of thinking deeply, you know, at least a couple of times a week. You know, and so for me to sit down with this blank sheet of paper, I was kind of intimidated by it. I'm like, well, what am I supposed to write about? You know,
right.
Like, well, write what's going on, like your thoughts. And I'm like, oh, geez, you know, like I'm not sure. And I'm not a perfectionist by any stretch of the imagination, but it was where I'm like, okay, well, is this right? Like, am I writing down? It really was just feeling stuck. Like I didn't understand. Okay, well, what am I thinking about right now? You know, yeah, it was just, I had this major block with like trying to get a stream of consciousness and writing that down onto paper. And so what I ended up doing to help myself was I would have prompts, you know, that I would use to get me started as far as writing. And because so much of, you know, I really had things dialed in from my health standpoint and a relationship standpoint. So it was more about business for me. And so it would be questions that would be like, what are the bottlenecks in your organization right now? Or when you think about then I would be able to start really go and, you know, and writing, you know, with a stream of consciousness and writing that down and then coming up like, okay, well, what's the biggest challenge, you know, that the company's facing right now? And
right.
Then, like really begin to think deeply about that and write it down and follow the process, because it's not just about thinking deeply about it. It then is about organizing those thoughts, putting action items in place if you're deeming that necessary. But yeah, I don't know what it was. And I think also too, for me, and I don't know whether anybody else this resonates, is going to resonate with anybody else or not. It might be also why I've never journaled. Mm-hmm. Is that like once it's down on a sheet of paper, it like is living now. You know what right. I mean? Like for anybody to read,
yeah.
for anybody to, you know, judge or whatever the case may be. And so I don't know whether that's where it came from either, but I just know sitting down for the first five, at least, sessions was like, I didn't look forward to it. You know, I kind of dug my heels in a little bit, you know, and my that subconscious kind of pushed against it because it was in my visualization. And it was
right.
like, so it wasn't until I started using prompts. And then once, again, we've talked about this a little bit in the last episode where we touched on the reticular activating system. Like, so yeah. once too, my brain knew to expect that I was going to have these thinking sessions that are scheduled on my calendar for me to do. I had a specific time and place I was doing them. So my brain had a place to put that and knew that it was holding space for that. Then I would be on the treadmill, I'd be listening to a podcast, an idea would pop into my head about something that I had heard. And I'm like, huh, I wonder if that's something that's worth investigating. Maybe that'll work in my company or my life or whatever the case is. And then that would be what I would journal about, you know, in my thinking time, what I would be, you know, my stream of consciousness would be about in my thinking time. And so that was how I began then to utilize it. And now, you know, for me, I have it. It's part of my everyday practice now because it's so powerful. Today was a session that I used. It specifically on was around, okay, so I'm really back in my business and working a desk and getting my eyes real close on the business. So I'm working in recruiting right now too. I'm actually doing some recruiting. And I'm like, why is my message, like my connection requests for LinkedIn, I've got an 80% or better acceptance rate for interior designers. And if I use the same message, but just trade one word out, because it's not working for structural engineers.
Right.
And so then I start thinking about that. I'm like, well, obviously this is marketing. They're two different audiences. They both think differently about everything about them is different in terms of how they process information. And then I went into chat, you know, and I'm like, okay, you know, is this true?
And this is during a thinking session.
This was during a thinking session because I'm like, the first prompt for me was, is it true that the two audiences are so different from one another that perhaps the connection request on LinkedIn is just not resonating with the structural group the same way it is with the designers. And then through that began to get educated about the way those two psychologies and demographics work and their mind. And by doing a couple of different things to the connection request would change my acceptance rate dramatically. Now, that's still to be seen. This is literally a session that I did this morning first thing.
Right.
But it, because my brain is trained that I'm using this time for that, it is looking to solve, you know, to solve equations all of the time. And it knows that this thinking time is used to do that.
Right. Wow. You know, that is so interesting on a number of levels. The first that it was a struggle at first. And that's interesting that you had never, like I had journaled. I journaled since I was in my 20s. And I have, you know, so I have a long history of journaling. So that I didn't think it was that difficult. But if you haven't done it before, there's a sign, okay, this might be a little more difficult at first. And I would dare say that most people have probably not journaled, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. I think that's a fair statement.
So then you start doing it and it's a little hard at first, but because it's in your live GPS template, you're feeling the pressure to do it and feeling some guilt if you didn't want to do it. And that's natural that you didn't want to do it because you weren't good at it at first.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then you start doing it. Then you figure out, oh, I need prompts. And then off we go. And now the latest iteration is doing thinking sessions with ChatGPT. Yeah. Totally cool. I have just started doing this. I use ChatGPT all the time, but I haven't really done them with thinking sessions per se. But I'm gonna start doing that. I think that's, you know, the reality. I'm just telling you, this world is radically going to change over the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. And the sooner you can jump on the properly using AI, the better off you are, because the ChatGPT today is an extension of you. And I found that you got to have the version that you talk to it, where it talks back and forth. And I'm surprised at how many people that I introduce this to, and they watch me do it on my phone, they're like, wow, what is that? And, mm-hmm. and yeah, it costs $20 a month. It's a paid version of chat, but it's such a game changer, because oftentimes when I'm, and you're probably the same way, I'll ask chat something and I don't really know where I'm going with my question, but as we have a conversation and it's giving me back the answer in real time, then it begets the next question. And I now see it's truly an extension of me. Do you see it that way as well?
I do. And what I've asked mine to do too is to challenge me, like to not always, like I don't want it to agree just for the sake of agreeing. I want to be challenged. Like if there's something that isn't I want to be challenged in my thought process and in what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
So that has really, kind of helped dial things in, as well. But I want to go back one step, because I haven't used it as part of my actual thinking session. I will do my thinking session where I'm like, I wonder if it's true, mm-hmm. That my messaging, speaking to different audiences, this is my instinct, and I'll kind of like go through that process of that. And one of my action items is to then use ChatGPT to further, vet out the idea, the concept, get some direction on it, validate or disprove my thought process around it.
Yeah.
And so I've utilized it that way.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, one of the reasons this came up, I think I've told you, I'm evolving to teaching my class at the University of Texas to MBA students, because they're just the perfect group. They're 28 or 29 and they've been out in the real world. They have to have been out in the real world to get into the MBA program. They're super high achievers. They're that 2%. So they're way more perfect than the 20-year-olds. Although, you and I were both 20 years old and there's value to teach it to them. But but I am so about impact. And so that's where I'm headed. And we'll see what happens with undergraduates. But in doing this, I've gotten to know the head of the management department at UT. And she is really a cool lady and very supportive of what I'm doing. Maybe because I'm going to throw a few million dollars at it. That may have some influence into it.
But, a little bit.
But... she's just cool. And she says, we're redoing our curriculum for the freshmen, in the introduction to management. And of course, I'm looking at everything through the lens of leadership of self. And I'm starting the money that I'm going to put behind this is to create the Center for Advanced Leadership of Self. And so I'm looking at everything through the lens of leadership of self. And she says, what would you teach freshmen about your methodology? And I'm thinking that teaching them thinking is like the entry point to understanding how the human mind works and to manipulate the subconscious mind, because that's what we're doing. With thinking, we're creating an output venue for all the input that's coming in. And this is the first stage of manipulating the subconscious mind. Like you were saying, a good example was you're on the treadmill and you're listening to something and and you hear it. And then a couple of days later, when you do your thinking session, or maybe the next morning, you're like, oh yeah, now your brain has processed whatever you learned. And now it's trying to get you to figure out what's the implication in your life. But
yeah, absolutely.
My question to you is out of all our stuff, what do you think the best thing to teach an 18-year-old college student? What would be the best thing? Is it thinking time, or is there something else?
No, I think off the cuff. I mean, I see absolutely the value in thinking time, and part of it is because it is a lost art. I think that because, you know, we've talked about this a million times, nobody's thinking deeply about anything.
Right.
You know? And so they're not learning that skill from a young age or anything along those lines. That creativity, the things that we used to get through thinking and going and being creative outside and exploring because we didn't have cell phones and, you know, all of that. Like, so that whole thought process of how to imagine, be creative, find, I think that it's, an art that we're losing. And so I think that that absolutely is the entry point to success and getting and helping people understand how to think.
Right. Well, and here's another thought that I think is fundamental to think it be it is, and we've talked about this before, that you're really two people in one. There's the observer you, and there is the doer you. And it's a natural to teach that with thinking time, because that's a time where your conscious mind observer you is observing your life and assessing what's going on and what could be improved. You're stimulating your creativity. And then whatever it comes up with, you go and put it on your life GPS template to seed it into the subconscious mind. So that it seems to me that getting people just as the first step into maybe this methodology is understanding that fundamental idea that there's the observer you and the doer you, and mm-hmm. and this is the first sort of step into that world. You agree with that?
Yeah, no, I love that. And one other point that I want to make that I haven't spoke about yet in this episode, which is how surprised I was when I began this process. And like, once I got the hang of it, which again, took me a couple of weeks, five times or so going through it. Once I really started to get the hang of it, one benefit that I was not expecting was the stress reduction I had. Because I didn't realize, but like not getting ideas, thoughts, things out onto paper, that they were all these half-formed thoughts. Like, so for example, using the treadmill as an example, I would have heard that idea. I would have thought, oh, that's a great idea. I need to do that. Or I need to look into that and that is as far as it would have gone. Like the next, something else would have popped up that would have distracted me. And then that thought is a half-formed thought, and then pops up again here, still nothing happens, no actions taken. And so this process allowed me to allowed me to have a place to put all of this stuff that was in my head. And we talk about the mind thriving on order. Well, thinking time helps create that order and just creates a sense of peace for me in getting that, all of it out of my head and onto paper.
Right. But when I taught the thinking process, I remember you telling me that it took half thoughts and turned them into full thoughts. And I was telling them about you. And in fact, my last class, we're on spring break this week, but last week was, they've learned all the methodology. They got their template. They know how to use it. And so I'm like, towards the end of the class, I'm like, okay, you have to learn this to get a grade in this class, but it's up to you whether you apply it. And so I ended up I said at the end, okay, who's willing to try this for 30 days? Well, every hand goes up. But before I did that, remember that video that you were kind enough to do 5 years ago, probably, and it was just 4 minutes of you just talking about the impact of this methodology. And so I play that for them. Mm-hmm. Because you had such a great way of doing it. Remember, we did the video pretty cool, I thought. Mm-hmm. And I think we did a video, if I remember correctly, where you talked about you struggled on thinking time.
Yeah.
I need to find that, because now that they're actually doing this stuff and they're feeling the pressure because it's in their live GPS template, some of them are going to have trouble with thinking. And so I need to dial that in. But I felt like when they watched that video of you, which is right before I asked for their commitment, it really impacted them. And it was sort of cool.
Mm-hmm. So, well, that's fun.
You know, I'll tell you, as we wrap this up, a funny thing, you're talking about journaling. You may know where I'm going with this, but
I don't know. Let me see.
So, you know, I've kept a journal since I was in my 20s. And so I remember that I was probably 28 or 29, and I'm dating this girl. Mm-hmm. And here we go.
I know where you're going with this.
And so I'm journaling, you know, and she knows about it. But I assume that she's not going to read my friggin' journal. But
I was where you assumed wrong. You know what they say about when you assume.
Yes, yes. Well, that I proved it. So I write in there that I don't see that I'm going to marry her. Okay, I'm working through stuff, you know? So I write that, and I come home, and we weren't living together, but somehow she was in my house when I wasn't there. She reads that. She takes all my clothes, throws it in the hot tub. All my clothes are in the hot tub. And I'm like, whoa. And of course she's pissed, but I'm just like, well, I certainly am not going to marry someone that, you know, I can't even trust to not read my journal.
Exactly.
And if I didn't learn that lesson well enough, I had the same thing happen. Like, so, well, not exactly the same thing, but another girlfriend read my journal 15 years later, and it ended a relationship. I don't know what the heck the lesson of that is, other than it'd be a good idea if you don't have to learn the same lesson more than once. Maybe that's the lesson.
Note to self, don't write anything down about your relationship in your journal.
Right. But also note to myself, don't marry anybody that would read your journal.
Totally.
The ginge would not read my journal. You know, so, but it's funny. Well, on that, note, we will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Missing Secret podcast. If you'd like to learn more about this 12-minute a day technique that gives you control over your life beyond what you've ever experienced before, visit themissingsecret.org. That's themissingsecret.org. Sign up for our free video that reveals the full secret of Think and Grow Rich, and purchase John's book, The Missing Secret. Until next time, be the exception. Work smarter, not harder, by leveraging yourself through science. It takes 12 minutes a day.